Hi, welcome back, guys. Welcome back. Oh my God, so much energy at 10 a.m. in the morning. Labrador Energy Podcast. We had no episodes for three weeks. Now we're doing three this week, and we have Simon Gonzalez here.
What's up?
How's it going, Simon? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
You've woken me at 10 a.m. in the morning to do this podcast.
Yeah, that's...
Because you're a busy man.
Well, not really, but it's just... I felt like if I do something in the morning, I feel like I have accomplished something.
Exactly. Know, yeah. That's good. That's a good mindset. So tell us, Simon is also... Is a brand new comedian in the Berlin comedy scene. You've... tell us a bit more about yourself so I don't divulge everything.
Ooh, about myself. Well, I was born in Sweden, but I was raised in Spain because when I was 10 years old...
So you're a Spanish Swede?
Yes.
One would think you'd be better looking.
Yeah. I would assume as well. Like, my parents did some mistakes there. Yeah. No, I don't know what's... I think it's just my... they gave me allergies and crooked teeth. So first I thought I was British.
You nice.
Know, but yeah.
So wait, your mom is Swedish or who's Swedish?
My mom is Swedish. So she's nice. Like 1.76 meters.
And oh, really?
My dad is 1.63 meters. So it's a really...
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, my dad, I don't know. He must...
Oh, this guy fucks.
Yeah, exactly. But then I saw him naked. I was like, no, that's not it.
That's so, not it? Okay.
No, like he... But I think he has just general swag.
The confidence.
Yeah, that he did not... I did not inherit it.
Right. When you're 1.63 meters, you have to have confidence.
Yeah. Like, and I saw some pictures... Like, my mom, like, I saw some pictures when she was young. And, like, I don't want to be that guy, but like she was hot.
She's babe.
Yeah. I'll be like, damn. And then I saw some other girlfriends from my dad, and they were even hotter. And I was like,
really?
Yeah. But apparently he was like this disco dancer, and he had like even like this world record of like dancing for, I think it was like 36 hours straight.
Really? Yeah. They went in for the stamina.
Yeah. For yeah. sure.
This
for
guy,
sure.
Like, this guy can move his hips for 36 hours straight.
And I mean, he was a very... Well, he still is like a very unique dude. He's like the way I describe my dad is like he has the biggest heart and the best intentions in the world,
right?
But like the smallest brain.
Really?
Yeah. So he makes all decisions based on emotions, which, you know, is never a good
very
idea.
Latino.
Yeah, but extremely Latino.
Interesting.
So like the reason we moved from Sweden to Spain was because like my mom passed away when I was 8, and he was okay. Like, he's been a restaurateur his whole life, and he was like, I'm gonna open a restaurant to honor in her name. The name is gonna be Karina. So
okay.
I'm gonna be like, okay, so you don't have the money, how are you supposed to
do it?
Restaurant? He's like, don't worry about it, I'll go to the bank, I'll get the loan, it's gonna be easy. And I was like, okay, well, so what's the concept? Oh, it's a Swedish, Spanish, Mexican, Japanese, and Italian restaurant.
Well, what a fusion.
And I'm like, okay, so you think the bank will want it? He's like, dude, did you not hear the concept? That's easy money. And so he went to the bank, and obviously they said no.
They were like, okay, it sounds like you're all over the place.
Exactly, so they refused it immediately. So he was like, who can I ask for money that will pay for my restaurant? So he went to the Yugoslavian mafia in Sweden.
Okay.
And he asked them for money. So they're like, okay, we will give you the money, but you pay us back with time.
Right.
And for flash forward 9 months, the restaurant was not making money.
Right.
Shocker for everybody, right? And they were like, okay, so where's our money? My dad's like, so I don't have it.
So let me explain.
There's just this one thing.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, so here's the thing. Unless you pay us back, we're gonna kidnap your kids.
You have any brothers, sisters?
A sister.
Okay, gotcha.
So then I was at my grandparents' place, and one morning we came back, and my dad was just packing up the car, filling it up, and like screaming. My sister was like crying and yelling. It's like, I hate you, I hate you. And we were like, what the fuck is going on? And I just came there, and my dad was like, okay, so we're moving to Spain. And me and my grandma was like,
to run away from the mafia?
Yeah.
Wow.
You're like, what?
This is a very strong start on the Labrador Energy Podcast here, guys. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good, very good. Oh, interesting. So how long did you actually live in? We'll get to the running away. Did the mafia find you?
No.
Okay, cool.
Still alive.
Guys, yeah. So guys, he's here.
this mafia.
He's here.
Unless the mafia is watching the video now, then I'm fucked.
I don't think the mafia watches the Labrador Energy Podcast.
You never know who's watching, man.
Like, exactly. It's getting bigger. So you actually lived in Sweden for 6 years?
10 years.
10 years.
10 years in Sweden, and then with 10, we just took the car and...
So you're fluent in Swedish?
Yeah.
Is it your native tongue?
Yeah, but I would say from all the languages that I speak, it's the one I speak the worst.
Mm.
It's very weird because, I mean, I only speak it with my sister because she lives in Sweden now. Mm-hmm. She moved back, but with my dad, yeah.
Did the Spanish-Swedish combination work out better for your sister?
Not at all. Even worse. She got like my dad's part. So she's short, dark haired, dark eyes.
Oh man, so because usually like the mother's genes are usually a bit stronger, but it sounds like your dad had like a lot of, it's very, very potent.
It's his stamina. That small thing, it's all compact,
right,
you know?
Right, strong poisons come in small vials. That's
exactly.
The saying in Romania that we have.
Oh, well, it fits for my dad perfectly.
So your sister's still in Sweden then?
Yeah, so like after 3 years, she was there then 15, she was like, I cannot take it anymore. Right. And she just moved back to Spain because my grandparents were still there and we had some family friends and they kind of like became her legal guardians. And
gotcha. In Sweden, where?
It's called Sundsvall.
Okay.
It's like 400 kilometers north of Stockholm.
Oh, it's like the middle of...
Nowhere.
Nowhere.
Yeah. it's the biggest city in the north, or one of the biggest cities.
Right.
But it's like... It's a neighborhood in Berlin, basically.
Right, okay.
Or not
okay.
even.
Because I've done, like, you know, I've done a couple of shows in Sweden. I've done, like... Sweden's actually a good, great place to go to do comedy because everybody speaks English, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you have a broader audience.
Yeah.
So, I did, like, Gothenburg, Linköping, Jönköping, Norrköping, Malmö, Lund, and Stockholm.
Okay.
So, that's, like... And everywhere you can charge, like, 15 euros for a ticket.
Nice.
And then most of them are sold out because, like, they're like, oh, it tends to be quite international as well. Very interesting. So you grew up in a village, but not a village, like a city.
Well, it is a city, and like, but I think for comedy as well, like the demand is much higher than the supply.
Right.
Because they all, like, I mean, when I was a kid, I grew up watching The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air before going to school in English. So all of us are like, I think 86% of the population are fluent in English.
Right.
And we grew up watching like American media and stuff like
so
that.
So do they subtitle stuff in Sweden? Or
everything.
Everything.
Yeah. Only kids' movies are in dubs. Sweden dubs. But like the rest is subtitled.
Because that's the opposite of Spain, right?
Oh, completely. Like when I went there, it's funny, man.
Did you speak Spain when you went to Spain?
No,
Spanish.
I learned it when I was there.
I see.
But the thing is, like, my English was, of course, good.
Mm-hmm.
But I fucking hate kids, man, because they're the worst.
The worst.
Yeah, because like I would start speaking in English like with an accent, and everybody was like, ah, fuck, you try too hard, you know, loser, whatever.
You're speaking with English with an accent.
Yeah, like with like an American accent. So like I was trying too hard, like whatever. So I had to like adapt my English to a Spanish accent to like fit in.
Really?
Yeah. Hello. Yeah, it's so bad.
Where did you live in Spain?
In Girona. It's like outside of Barcelona.
Girona.
So it's basically one of the most Catalan independent regions.
Right, they're like super aggressive about
it. Yeah, okay. So like, I mean, in my group of friends, most of our parents are like from central Spain because they had like their families or grandparents had fled from like the civil war to Catalonia.
Right.
But the sentiment around everybody, it's like independence.
Right. Like
fuck you, Spain.
Fuck everybody. Interesting. How different is Catalan from Spanish?
I would say Catalan is a mixture of Italian, French, Portuguese, and Spanish. It's like you put everything together,
right,
and there you got Catalan.
Right.
So for me, understanding Portuguese and Italian, it's kind of...
But how long has the whole Catalan thing gone? I don't know much about it. I know that, you know, I've seen the riots, you know, I've watched them. It's been interesting. It's always fun to see people light stuff on fire, you know.
Yes, Molotov cocktails is a family tradition there.
So how long has the whole Catalan thing been going on?
I would say the sentiment started like around... I mean, for ages, right? Like, right. Because it's always...
It's like hundreds of years?
Yeah.
Or is it like...
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Because it's... I mean, during the Civil War, that was one of the issues as well, because they wanted to, like, ban the Catalan language. Mm-hmm. Una España grande y unida is, like, a big and united Spain. So, like, all, like, the small language and traditions just banished.
Right.
And that just grew, like, a little bit of, like, that sentiment. But then it died off because Spain went, like, the economy flourished and everything. But then once the economic crisis hit in 2007... Like Spain went to shit, and then of course they used the cultural thing as like an excuse, but it was mostly economical.
The argument is like we make most of the money,
yeah.
Like, why don't we get most of the benefits?
Exactly.
I see. It's just interesting.
Yeah, but then of course throughout the years the cultural thing grew because we had like a populist government in Spain, and they were like, "Fuck you, we are not doing it for you" or whatever, and. And so the one there were no like middle ground. It was just now like in the United States, the both ends grew more towards like extremism.
Right.
And then they just now it's just since the president is now in exile, it's a little bit of in standstill.
Interesting. So do you think like Catalan? Do you think Barcelona is ever gonna get independence?
No.
Catalonia is ever gonna be independent?
No. If there's any Catalans here, I'm sorry, but that's never gonna happen.
It's not gonna happen.
They might have more autonomy, like, but they already were like a very autonomous region.
Right.
Like that's. But the independence, it's economically, it's too complicated, especially how the world is right now, and Spain and generally, and then EU, and then because the thing with the EU, every country has to veto a country's entry, and Spain will never veto that.
Right, okay.
So then
even if they do declare themselves independent, they will never join the European Union, and then that's going to make life harder for them.
So much harder. So that.
But then they can join the Union with the British. And then get all the British people to visit Catalonia for something.
Well, they already do, you know, they don't want that. Like,
they don't like them.
Oh, dude, I remember, like, the coast is basically just drunk French people, British and Germans, and it's just...
It's like the Spanish people are like, we are supposed to be the drunk ones.
Yeah, exactly. And now the Russians came as well, which,
really?
You know, it's a big win. Yeah, there's one village in the coastal town. They've built like...
Do they buy houses or what do they do?
Oh, they built properties, hotels. Oh. Like, Russians are investing heavily now. Mm. Which, you know, I remember there was this one hotel that I was working in. They had like this regatta, this like sailing thing once a year. And it was only for Russians. Mm-hmm. So the whole hotel was rented out to Russians. And the boss of the hotel, he would come and he would be like, okay, so here's the thing. This week, let him do whatever they want. And we're like, but okay. And they're like... Doesn't matter, they pay. If they break something, they will pay it.
Right.
It's fine. But if you tell them no, they will go to some other hotels.
Right.
So one year, there was this Russian dude, he had brought...
Were you working at the hotel or is it just a story?
No, I was working at the hotel.
Okay.
But that I did not see because that happened like in a shift where I was not there. But this Russian, he brought like a bunch of prostitutes and like, you know, threw his party. And then everybody got like pissed drunk, one shat in the pool. Like they, like daylight. And he was just took a shit there in the pool because he was too drunk. And nobody gave a shit. And then in the evening, like the richest dude of them all, he did not speak English. So he just went there. Sat on the table and he was like, I want a risotto. And they're like, oh, sorry, sir, today in the menu, we have this.
Yeah, we're busy cleaning the shit from the pool.
Exactly. And he was like, did I ask you what you have? No, yeah. I want a risotto. Yeah. Like, no, I'm sorry, sir. Bring me your boss. I want a risotto. And then he was like, speak with like the translator.
Right.
And he's like, okay. He took out like an envelope filled like 500 euro bills. And he was like, I want a risotto. And they're like, sorry, sir. I want a risotto. Like for 500 euros. They're like, I'll go check with my boss to see what I can do, you know? Went back, sorry, sir, we don't have the ingredients for like that risotto, because he wanted like I think it was like a sort of mushroom risotto.
Right.
And they're like, figure it out. I want a risotto. And then eventually, I think it was like 2,000 euros on the table, and they're like, went to the hotel next door, got the ingredients,
really?
And made him a risotto. And he paid for like the 2,000 euros for the risotto.
What a power move. You can imagine like how rich are these Russians? Like this is clearly like some like straight up like mafia level.
Oh, it has to be oligarch sort of.
Right. Yeah. Like, this is clearly a power move.
Yeah. I mean, it's just to see like I can do whatever I want. Mm. You figure it out, you know.
And then I think at that point you're also paying for the story.
Oh, for sure.
You know, I went there to this place. They didn't have risotto. I gave him 500 euros. Didn't have risotto. I gave him 500 more. Now 1,000 euros. Didn't have risotto. And I was like, you don't have risotto? 2,000 euros. They had risotto.
Eventually, I bought the hotel and we just make risotto.
Yeah. It's a great, again, it's like that thing where you can, a lot of times for these rich people, it's about the flexing, right?
Yeah. Like yeah, because I mean, they have so much money that they don't know what to do with it. They'll be like, oh, I'll just try stuff, you know, until
exactly. Very interesting. Okay. And so how is it like moving from Sweden, a land of no emotions, like Spain, a land of too many emotions?
Oh, man. That was, well, to be honest, because I played football, that was like an instant click. Because
in
Spain, that's basically everything else. It's like bad, except football, which is like, you know, their religion. So I just met a couple of guys in school. We played football. It was good. I learned the language super fast. But for my sister, it was fucked up.
Right.
Basically, my dad, he was working all the time. So we were fed with donuts and Coca-Cola. So she gained like, I think it was like 15 kilos in a year.
Really?
It's like, especially in like the early teenage years.
She got like depressed, yeah.
She gained weight and it was like quite shitty. She did not learn the language as well because of like the cultural differences and like linguistics differences.
Right.
It was just fucked up.
Yeah, because Swedish is like so much different, right? Like a completely different animal.
The thing with Swedish, like when I speak it, I'm like, oh yeah, this sounds totally normal.
Right.
But when somebody asks me, okay, can you speak in Swedish? And I speak it out loud to somebody who doesn't speak it, I'm like, this is so weird. Why do we do that with our voice? Because it sounds like a roller coaster. You're just like, bah, 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 bah.
Right.
Just for example.
I was going to say, like, I had a joke about this when I was in Sweden. I think it was more about Norwegian, but like probably similar. The joke was like, this Norwegian language sounds like it was, I can tell a lot of Vikings lived here because the language sounds like it was invented on a boat. It's like...
like that.
Yeah, like the waves. Whee!
Yeah, but it's totally like that. It's really... And like, for example, in north of Sweden, in the south they don't do it, but like Sundsvall, like my city more up north, like my uncle does it all the time. To say yes, in Sweden you can say ja.
Ja.
Ja, but there's like this common like street way of saying yes, it's like. So if you would go like to like a Swedish person in the north, you will ask him, okay, so how do you say yes here? They will be like.
Really? Yeah. You'd be like, hey, can I get a blowjob?
Yeah. Like my uncle all the time is like.
Your uncle will be like.
Yeah, I'll give you one.
No, interesting.
It's super weird.
So like, because is it like regional differences in Sweden as well? Like in terms of like regional like rivalries?
Oh yeah, well.
Like everybody hates Stockholm, I assume.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Definitely, because the Stockholm people are like the posh ones. Mm. They think that they're better. Like they're like the Munich of Sweden.
Classic capital city.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, except Berlin, I think is that.
Berlin is like
the shittiest.
Yeah, exactly.
In Germany.
Yeah, but everybody hates Berlin too. Like outside of Germany.
Because everybody's like, oh, you fucking.
You took Kufus for us.
Yeah,
you know?
Non-productive motherfuckers.
Exactly.
You know, we are the make some money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Economy. This is Germany.
Exactly. And everybody's like, this is so like every time I go to like different places, like the first time I came here to Berlin, I was like, oh, it's a pretty clean city. And every time I go somewhere else, they're like, Berlin is clean. What the fuck? Where did you live? Romania.
You're like, aha.
Yeah.
It clicks.
Interesting. So then you were hanging around there like 10 years old, you're in Spain, you're integrating, you're making friends, and then you're going to school there.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was kind of fluid in that sense, like the transition, but it's just, of course, it was a big change because like we escaped the mafia, which you
know.
is not like the cool.
Yeah, it's like it's a good story though.
Yeah, and like we and my dad, you know, I remember we went into the car and my grandma's like, what the fuck is going on?
Well, it's your Swedish grandma.
Yeah. And she was just standing there crying, my sister crying, me was crying.
So your grandma was probably telling your mom, it's like, this is a wrong decision, this is a bad move. And she was like, 10 years in, I knew it.
Yeah, no, totally. Like in the beginning, they did not accept my dad fully.
Mm.
Because, I mean, also he's a bit of a weird dude. And it was just like a bit of everything.
He's been dancing disco for 36 hours.
Yeah, so.
But how did he even meet your parents?
Fuck, I think my dad explained it to me like a year ago. I think it was like, he went to a party once. And they met and they started talking.
In where? Which country?
In Sundsvall, like in the city that.
Oh, so your dad was there?
Yeah, my dad moved to Sweden when he was like 19 because he was working in a hotel in Mallorca. And he's a hard worker. So then a couple of people, some Swedish people who had like a factory, they're like, hey, do you want to work with us? And he was like, okay.
Interesting.
So he just packed his bag and went to Sweden. I mean, that's all, you know.
That's some Labrador energy right there.
Yeah, and there's this weird thing is like, my surname is Gonzalez, right?
Right. It's pretty Spanish. Doesn't get more Spanish than that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But my surname and my dad's surname is written differently.
Okay.
So I'm like the only one in my family whose name is Gonzalez with an S. Because my dad, he moved to Sweden. And because, I mean, he didn't speak in English or Sweden.
Right.
Like, he had to register himself. So they're like, okay, so what's your name? He's like, Angel Gonzalez.
Right.
And they're like, so it's Angelo Gonzalez? And he's like, sure. So then he just changed his name, like, by entry in Sweden. He lived there for some years. Married my mom.
Right.
She took his surname Gonzalez with an S.
Right.
Had me and my sister Gonzalez with an S.
Right.
But then, of course, my mom passed away. That's one Gonzalez with an S less.
Right.
Then we moved to Spain, and they're like, "Oh, here's this Angelo Gonzalez, but your name is Angel Gonzalez Martin." And they're like, "Sure, change his name back." And then my sister married another guy. He took his name, so now I'm the only one in the family who has Gonzalez with an S.
Ah, very good. It could be like the Madonna of the family.
Exactly, yeah.
Very interesting. It's, okay, and then so basically now you're... What was your dad doing in Catalonia? Was he working still restaurant business or...?
Yeah, well, he was working for somebody else, like in a restaurant as a chef.
Right.
And then now he's just retired.
Basically,
I left him in this position watching the TV and pretty sure the next time I'm going to go, he's going to still be there.
Chilling.
Yeah.
Spanish people.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Okay, and then so basically, but you also said like you're multilingual. You're a bit of a polyglot, yes?
Yeah.
How many languages do you speak?
Catalan, Spanish, Swedish, English, German, and my girlfriend says I speak French, but I'm like...
Your girlfriend is French?
Yeah.
Okay, so 6 languages. And how did this happen? Is it just like...
Honestly, I if you would ask me now, could you like in a certain amount of time learn Italian or learn... I wouldn't know. I have no idea how to learn a language. I'm terrible at like sitting down and learning it. But I think it's just circumstantial. I lived in most of these countries through a certain period of time.
In Italy?
No, like from the languages that I speak.
Yeah, the Swedish, obviously. Spanish, obviously. English, it's kind of like, you got to
know it's like, everywhere.
Right.
German, I've lived in Germany now 7 years.
Right, okay.
Because before living in Berlin, well, I moved to Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
I lived there for a year. Then moved to Erfurt, which is like in central Germany.
Ah, okay, so that's, you have to,
yeah.
There's no other way.
There's no other way.
What were you doing there?
Well, my ex-girlfriend is German.
Ah.
And we met during an Erasmus.
Right.
That I did in Denmark. And then she was like, either, you know, we were doing like this long distance with using Ryanair, which, you know, it's kind of cheap.
Using Ryanair, yeah.
But then eventually it's like, okay, we cannot do it anymore. Either one comes or another one goes. And right. I went to Berlin.
And where were you at the time?
I was in Girona.
In Girona, which is?
Spain.
Spain.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I moved to Germany. I just came to Berlin for a week and I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. And then I just searched for like a job in a startup.
Right.
3 weeks after I was of living here and
break
yeah,
up.
I mean, yeah, it's, but I mean, I don't regret anything. And like even Erfurt, which was like four shitty years there.
Four shitty years.
Yeah. It's but I mean, I learned German, which, you know,
which is something.
And I have a lot of stories for stand up from there. So like, last job, I was working in export and I was traveling a lot to Saudi Arabia and
really?
And stuff like that.
What are you exporting to Saudi Arabia? Bone saws?
Almost. Guns. No. kids and guns. No.
Yeah, let's go now.
Yeah, so like 2 years after, I remember this mall.
Wait, let's go back. I think, I'm not sure exactly if it got recorded, but basically just for purpose of restating, in Saudi Arabia, they have a law.
Yeah.
Where basically the company needs to be 50% owned by a Saudi Arabian.
Yes.
And needs to have 51% employees from Saudi Arabia, right?
Yeah,
you were working there as a glue salesman. This is just in case I'm doing it for the...
Yeah.
You were working there, the camera cut off and I'm just recapping.
Construction glue, not sniffing glue.
Yeah, yeah. Just so working there as a glue salesman and then you were dealing with billionaire Arabs.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's basically it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but like now, Saudi Arabia is like a huge economic crisis suffering because there's like this, what is this? They're taxing foreigners. So like 800,000 expats moved away. So now they have like...
They're taxing foreigners?
Yeah.
Because I thought there was no tax in that part of the world.
Now it's starting, like stuff, especially for foreigners.
Not because they're making so much money or what?
Because they're like, because the oil, there's now like more competition and they're not making that much. So they need to diversify their portfolio.
Move away from, and then, you know, obviously with like electric car companies coming out and solar panels, it's like the blood is in the water. Or should I say oil is in the water?
Are you a comedian?
Interesting. Maybe come slightly closer.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that.
Okay, so then basically they're kind of diversifying.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, it was an interesting time. I mean, I went to like Egypt. Egypt was fucking like Cairo. It's insane as well. I remember seeing two cars like bump into each other because like 10 out of 10 cars have like scratches and shit like that, and they bumped into each other. And I was like, oh shit, that's a big accident. And the guy I was with, yeah, like, don't worry, they'll just scream at each other, and then once they're like no things are out, they will go back in the car and they will drive away. And I was like, what about insurance? And he's like, what are you talking about? Insurance?
This is Egypt.
Yeah, we don't have that. Insurance is shouting.
Yeah.
Shouting, and then you leave.
Yeah. Interesting. So you were mostly selling to like Arab countries then?
Like Middle East and the Baltics as well. But huge cultural differences.
Yeah, of course. Interesting. I haven't had the chance to spend that much time in the Arab world, but I do have people following me from the Arab world.
They love comedy there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, basically, I was listening to like Russell Peters, and he was saying that he usually goes to Saudi Arabia to perform for the royal family.
Yeah.
Because like he has, you know, and you know, they would also like representation in the jokes. So nobody talks about Arab. There's no famous Arab comedian like from the Middle East.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
Like they have a couple of Arab comedians. Like I think Masoud Jabrani. He's Iranian, he's Persian, so he's not necessarily... Who's a big Arab comedian?
Muammer,
who's like... where's he from? He's Palestinian? No,
he's... Yeah, no.
I know he had a Kuwaiti passport, but then he's recent, right?
Yeah.
So he's like one of those guys, and then...
old school, I think there's none. Yeah.
There was this Ahmed, but he's not that big anymore.
Yeah.
So there's not that much representation for them when you think
of... I was about to say, like, Jeff Dunham, his sock puppet was...
Yeah. No, they like that, actually.
Yeah.
But I think Jeff Dunham was kind of, like, he's basically fallen off. He had, like back in the day, I was reading, like, the amount of money he was making. He was making, like, $7 million a year. $70 million from, like, playing with puppets on stage.
It's insane.
So there are a couple of comedians from the US that basically, I mean, this is a good transition into comedy as well, as like there's a couple of comedians that have done well in those parts of the world, and some of them have been like Gabriel Iglesias.
Oh, yeah.
Fluffy
is always.
And then Russell Peters. I think Trevor Noah, not as much. He's.
But, I mean, because also like they're doing more like a cultural thing, right?
Yeah.
And I think that
appeals, yeah.
It's like your comedy, I think, will appeal there more too as well, because it's
so,
like. You know,
introducing, doing stuff, and also like
just being a loosey goose.
And to be honest, I think they also like dark stuff as well.
Yeah. I mean, because the problem with like the world is like the Middle East is painted as like, you know, this dark place, and they're like, we like to laugh too.
Yeah, right? Exactly,
we're people.
Exactly.
It's like that's a very small percentage of. It's the same as if you would say like all Europeans are Nazis, all Americans are ignorant. You know.
Yeah, exactly. And then the last one's clearly not real in the past.
No. I mean,
it's not like 80% of Americans, like 75% of Americans voted for Trump.
No. I mean,
if anything, that stereotype is more real than the one about Arabs.
Exactly.
Isn't that ridiculous?
That's fucked up.
Wow.
But because they control the media, so then
exactly,
they can change
yeah.
the narrative. Yeah.
Americans. 9/11, am I right?
Yeah. It was. That's a conspiracy.
Inside job.
It never happened.
QAnon. I was actually, you know, before you came here, I thought about. I'm thinking of doing more stuff on Twitter. To write jokes on Twitter as a drag writing exercise.
I do it. Yeah.
And then I wrote something along the lines of. Guys, I did a bit of research. I took it upon myself to do a bit of research into the QAnon movement, and I found out that the leader, the infamous Q, is actually a giant duck. Yes, now we understand why all his followers are quacks. Quack, 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 quack. I was thinking this.
Huh? But I love Twitter because, like, you can really use. Do anything.
Yeah.
Like, and even beginning of jokes or like a premise, you can just put it out there and see what happens. You know?
I've been trying to do more stuff online now, like with basically, I was thinking, where am I not putting stuff? Because, like, basically, yesterday I had something that went slightly viral on 9gag.
Oh, you post on 9gag as well?
I post on 9gag as well. But, like, the trick about posting on 9gag, never read the comments.
Yeah, no.
Never.
It's same as Reddit.
Like, but no, Reddit is much more well behaved.
Yeah.
Because I think the average level of intelligence on Reddit is higher than the one on 9gag.
Yeah.
Because people on, and there's a lot of good people on 9gag, yeah. But there's also a lot of
shit. Not to shit on you guys, yeah. But
there's also a lot of terrible people on 9gag.
There's a lot of kids too, right?
Yeah. And then people that have been on 9gag since 2012. And they've never moved out of that mindset.
People on the internet are such snobs too. Like, honestly speaking, like generally speaking.
I agree.
Like, because if you're like the first one to discover a subreddit and somebody goes there, they will always like be like, oh, back in the day it was much better. It's like, dude.
Back in the day you should have killed yourself.
Yeah, it's like.
Avoid this comment.
Yeah.
So it's kind of playing around with it. So I'm kind of like reaching the plot. Because I don't want to like, a lot of times to promote my content, I'll post in Facebook groups.
Yeah.
But I feel it's not as.
Effective.
Yeah, it's too much work for too little reward.
And I think also like in Facebook groups, it just people don't get the notification. You just don't see that.
It's too much work for the little word. So let's talk about it. How did you get into comedy? You started comedy this year, last year?
Last year. Well, I had done it once before because when we broke up with my ex, I was like, I need to get my head something else. And I just tried it once. It went pretty good.
Where did you try it?
Monday Night Mics.
Ah,
that was
okay.
My first one.
Okay.
And then I went like a year and a couple of months and I didn't do it.
Oh.
And then I was like, I did it twice again, and my third time was at Cosmic, and it was like to a room of 130 people, and I was like, and I really did good. It was the first one where I really like nailed it, and like after the show, everybody was there, they're like, oh dude, you did pretty good, like the confidence, and I was like, okay, I like this.
And then that
day it just changed, and since then I just couldn't stop.
Yeah, that was like back in the days when you had 130 people in the room.
Man, it's insane, because even if it's like, an okay joke.
Yeah.
If 30 people left,
it feels like
it's just this adrenaline rush that you cannot no drug can.
Have you tried it? Have you tried it in Sweden? Have you been to Sweden? Do you go to Sweden often?
Not that often, but next time I go, I wanna. That's the thing. Like, if this summer comedy goes back, because I have now written more. Like, I think I have an hour.
An hour.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have 20 minutes.
Well, yeah, 20 good minutes, yeah. But to be able to tour and stuff like that, I would want to try it.
Right. You can try it, for sure.
Because I think if I don't do that hour, I will not realize that it's shit.
Right.
So then when I go to visit Sundsvall, which is a city, because usually touring comedians, they will go to Stockholm, maybe Uppsala. They will not go more up north because economically it doesn't make sense because it's like 4 or 5 hours up north.
Right.
So then I'm just thinking, I know a bar there that's...
And I'm sure like the thing with like doing 1 hour comedies is like, I think a lot of people... they tend to forget, especially when you're in comedy, that not everyone's a comedy expert. You know, so not everyone has like let's say, like you said, like if it's not 1 hour and there's like let's say it's not like a joke every 20 seconds, even if it's like a joke every couple of minutes or like a joke a minute,
yeah,
it's still better than nothing.
Because what I want
at the moment, they're getting nothing. You know?
Exactly, and it's and they would appreciate if like an English speaking comedian will come to their city.
Of course, yeah.
So then I'm just thinking I'll visit my sister. I'll spend 2 weeks there, and I'll do 2 weekends, an hour in that city.
Right.
And then there's a student city which even more up north called Umeå.
Yeah. Then nobody goes there. They're gonna be so happy.
And that's 3 hours from my sister's, or 4 hours. So I will do maybe two shows there too. And I'll try to do 4 hours in Sweden.
Right.
And then I want to try to do it a few times as well in Berlin, because I want to see...
I would recommend trying it out here first.
Yeah, because I want to try it like to as well to self-organize a show now we do like the show with Pascal.
The one at the wall.
Exactly.
Yeah, I haven't had the chance to do it because I run a show on the same day. But how's that going well, right?
It's going well. Like we sold out every show.
Right.
But I mean, it's just 40 seats, but still. And both from the audience and the comedians, they're loving it. We have a really good feedback because it's very interactive.
What's the format again? Is it about jokes or?
So basically first half comedians do their 5 minutes and joke around, and then second half it's a joke battle. But like bad joke battle, and it's themed every week.
So that sounds like good for YouTube.
Yeah, we have filmed a lot, and the problem is we haven't gotten down to
time to edit.
But it's basically try not to make the other one laugh. So try not to laugh.
Gotcha.
So 1 week it was like country jokes, and the example I gave is like, where do nuns go on holidays?
Nuns.
Okay. The Virgin Islands.
Okay. That's funny.
Shit like that.
Okay.
And then we just, or like, what?
Smart, yeah.
Yeah, what was it? Which drink is forbidden in Palestine?
Mountain Dew.
Juice. And it's just bad jokes like that. Sitting, but you cannot laugh. And of course, if you have a comedian sitting in front of you, it makes juice. Yeah. And we just thought about this format because I saw like this dad joke battles on YouTube from like I think Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell. I was like,
it works. The format is proven. Like in Romania, it works really well. They have like the Romanian version of it, and it gets like millions of views on YouTube.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, you know, it's just silly jokes. It's you know, it's kind of like a good writing exercise and stuff that you can kind of, you know, like I said, throw out there. Stuff that you won't be able to use in an actual act.
Yeah,
I mean, but it's like a different kind of show.
We had like puns, and I mean Sandy Jones is a comedian in Berlin as well. He does a lot of puns and wordplay, and of course we had him. I think he won that week because he was able to use some from his act as well.
Right.
It was perfect for him because he had like, okay, on Wednesday I need to have 7 jokes written, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, we were doing something like that a while back. Pavlo was filming something. I don't know if you remember.
I saw like some bad joke battle or something.
But then I think, but the problem with that is like the editing.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it requires so much time to edit, so then I think they kind of fizzled out.
Yeah, for sure.
But it was a good format, and I think having an audience is even better.
And we interact with it. We get like a sponsor, like Tommy's Burgers. We try to get like some sponsor to give prizes to the audience.
How did you get a sponsor?
We just asked them to say like, hey, if we promote...
Do you know Tommy or what?
I think he had spoken with Foster.
Okay.
And we went there and we're like, hey, we're doing a show.
Okay.
And we have like this... part of the show, we film everything. I did like this promotional video as well.
Right.
I don't know if you saw that.
I'm not sure.
It was a lot of people came because of the promotional video.
Right. And so what were you selling?
We just had like a...
Oh, the promotional video for the show.
Yeah. We showed it to Tommy. They're like, oh, it's pretty cool. Full room.
Right.
And then we have one of the jokes that we write, because Pascal and I, we write like 7 jokes as well in case comedians don't write all and everything.
Right.
And it's for us a good exercise as well.
Right.
And then we bring an audience member, like somebody wants to read out the joke.
Right.
And if they come, they read out the joke, and then we give them like the Tommy's Burger Gutschein, and we film that, and we put it on.
Gutschein, it's a voucher or what?
A voucher, yeah. Like €10 voucher for Tommy's Burgers.
Ah, it's very good. That's interesting. Yeah, see, this is the thing. You can do so many things with it, right? It's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
Like, and then these guys are like getting free, like you can get more of these people to do it, I guess.
Yeah.
I haven't been to Tommy's Burgers. Guys, this podcast is sponsored by Tommy's Burgers. I would love to, where is Tommy's Burgers?
Well, I think it's like a chain that started in Denmark, but they have 2 or 3 places in Berlin.
Mm.
And one is at Boxy, which is right next to the wall.
Perfect, so you can go get a burger afterwards.
After the show, they're still open, you just go across the street.
Amazing. Okay, yeah, this is definitely a good area to kind of explore. Like, I haven't had the chance to... Okay, you can do so many things, right? And then I think the proof of concept here is that people will want to get involved with it.
Oh, for sure.
Because of the exposure. Interesting.
And especially now after Corona, they want... Like, you know,
yeah, that's a great move. It's a great move. Interesting. Maybe we'll try to do something like that for some of the shows that we run. But the problem with this is like time.
Yeah.
Where do you have all the time? And then the question is, because this is the problem that I have all the time. Like, I mean, if I could have like, if I had the money at the moment, I would hire like an editor.
Oh, for sure.
And like a person that just runs all this admin stuff for organizing shows, and then basically even like this kind of like sponsorship stuff.
Yeah.
Like that in the US, you already have this level of industry already there, but here it's like it needs to be.
I mean, it's just starting, right? Like now the demand is coming because of Netflix and like everybody's getting more aware of it, and YouTube, I guess, as well. But I mean, in Europe, I mean, Victor are kind of like the starters, like the trailblazers of the scene now in Europe, and like it's just growing.
It's
the ceiling is up, you know.
And even like what I was doing is like no one else doing it. There's like so much more room for more people, right?
For sure.
And then the question is basically how do you? I mean, but for me, at the moment, the question is like, okay, I've done this, and I can do this more, but what's the next level?
Yeah.
And then that's the basically, I think, with the internet and growing stuff, but it's just like. So much.
I mean, because
one day at a time.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's because I don't have that much content film on stand-up. Mm-hmm. I think I have like maybe 15, 20 minutes, and I put some clips here and there, and I put like this 10-minute compilation from my first year of stand-up on YouTube and everything. So I'm trying more to do because of like writing and improve my acting, because I think I do a lot of act out on stage and stuff.
Right.
Like
yeah,
that
it's a lot of great act outs. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just.
Have you watched Sebastian Maniscalco?
Yeah, dude. I remember you told me like after that, and he's just like fucking, you know.
Yeah, but like everything else, like even the one with the where he does the carnauba wax. Have you seen the carnauba wax?
No,
it's in the most recent special where he talks about like taking his car to the shop, and as he rolls into the shop, it's like the fucking Cirque du Soleil there because the guy's like. They're looking at the car,
and the facial expressions he does—it's
amazing. Just, like if you want to go down the route of being more physical stuff, he's the goat.
The one.
He's so funny.
Yeah. So I try to do more like YouTube, like sketches.
Mm.
Even on TikTok, I put on some small
stuff. The problem with—I was actually looking at some of them. The problem with the TikTok stuff—it's a different muscle.
Yeah.
This is why I haven't done a lot of TikTok sketches. Is because it's literally a different muscle.
It's Gen Z humor as well. Sometimes it's just. It's weird, and I just nonsensical stuff, and that's why I do some skits on TikTok and some on YouTube. Like yesterday, I put up one. It's like, what if YouTube comments were a press conference?
Right.
And it's 1 minute, and it's basically one guy going out there sitting, and he's like, so yeah. And then the first one is like, first, and he's sitting there.
Yeah, oh, that's a funny concept. Yeah.
He's like, okay, that next one. Okay, you come to Brazil because all the fucking comments are like that.
Okay, gotcha. That's a good concept. Yeah, I think the thing with that is it has to have good editing.
Yeah.
And then I haven't remember looking at it, but what I do a lot of my videos is I add a little bit of color correction. What do you use for editing?
Premiere Pro.
Okay. Yeah. So basically, I do a little bit of color correction.
Yeah.
So if you can do like a just to make the colors pop a bit more, that might work out better.
A bit more like warmer.
And then the cuts need to be faster.
Yeah.
I remember looking at stuff that needs to be faster cuts.
Yeah.
Like the cut like needs to be less dead space.
Yeah.
I mean I haven't done a lot of the sketches stuff, but playing around with it.
Yeah.
Do I need to reset this soon? Okay. Do you have what else? What's like the goal for 2021? We're talking about your goals for 2020.
Goal for 2021. I tend to aim high all the time. So last year, I wrote a book in 24 hours and I published it.
Okay. What was the book about?
It was just 6 short comedy stories.
Okay.
And I just wanted to make like this video of writing a book in 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And this year, well, I wrote a full book, like 250 pages last year.
Right.
But this one, I want to like improve writing. So I want to finish, like rewrite for a second time with that one.
Right.
But then I have another book that I'm writing right now, which is basically for years I've been collecting untranslatable words.
Okay.
I love untranslatable words.
So in Romanian ones?
I think I might have in my list, but I cannot remember. But like,
Dor.
Dor?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's kind of like it means a lot of things. It means like to miss someone, but also like the kind of feel sad about it. It's like a mixture of happy and sad.
That's awesome. Because what I do is like a book of untranslatable words. Mm-hmm. I write the name, the translation, like a meaning, and then I write a short story or a poem containing that word.
Right.
Or like an illustration or something like that. So I have, for example, kuchisabishi, which is a Japanese word.
Oh, yeah. Kuchisabishi.
Yeah.
Kuchi means vagina, and sabishi means lonely.
So basically, it's like your
mouth.
I'm
speaking Japanese.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. So it's basically like.
Kuchi is mouth, sorry. Yeah,
so okay. you eat because your mouth feels lonely.
Ah, okay, yeah. Sorry, I was thinking of the wrong kuchi.
Hey.
My pussy feels lonely. Kuchi, okay. Yeah, sabishi, what was the other one? Yeah, sabishi, and then what was the other one in Japanese that was like untranslatable? It was
they have so
natsukashi.
Many. Which?
Natsukashi.
I think I have it on my list as
yeah,
well.
I think it's kind of like Natsukashi. It's like melancholic feeling, like.
They're so poetic. There's one, like, or the Swedish word called Moongata, which is like you know when the moon is shining over a lake and it creates like this road. So it's Moone, it's like the moon, and Gata is the road, and it's like the road gets painted over like of water, the reflection of the moon. And it's basically like a full book of those words and short stories of each word.
Who would have thought the Swedish had a knack for poetry?
Who would have said? Yeah.
Is there any famous Swedish poet?
I mean, the poet.
Poet, that's the word I'm looking for.
Poet, I don't know, but there's Astrid Lindgren. She's a famous writer. She did like the Pippi Longstockings
and
stuff like that. Yeah.
I've heard of Pippi Longstocking, but I didn't know it was a Swedish lady.
Yeah, they just made a movie about her life.
I hope Greta publishes a book.
Yeah, I mean,
poetry on like natural disasters.
But the book is of course made of organic materials.
It's made out of hemp. You can smoke it afterwards. That's a good idea. Hemp book.
Yeah. If you don't like it, smoke it.
Exactly.
That's the way you
sell it.
If
you don't like it,
So yeah, the goal this year is to publish that book with
the words.
The words.
You want to self-publish it, or you get someone to publish it for you?
I want that to be published.
You have to find a book publisher.
I will try like to find a, because I think it's a like a coffee table book. It's pretty easy to give as gifts.
This is like that Seinfeld thing. Have you know the Seinfeld thing? Where like there's an episode in Seinfeld where Kramer is trying to publish a coffee table book on coffee tables. That also becomes a coffee table in itself.
Man, I haven't watched Seinfeld actually.
You haven't watched Seinfeld? It's pretty good. I mean, I just became aware of the concept of comedy is Seinfeld.
Okay.
Because like he does the show, and at the end he does like a little, hey guys, what's the little peanuts? And I was like, what the fuck is this guy doing? And I remember thinking, watching Seinfeld, I was like, how does this guy make money?
And then you're like, oh, he's the richest of all comedians.
Yeah, I was like, because I'm watching the show, and in the show he's a comedian. And he has like
he goes like to the cellar and the sets there.
Yeah, right? So like it's his life and his friends, but his full time job as Seinfeld in the show is he's a comedian.
Oh shit!
Like, how does the fuck this guy have like an apartment and he just hang around the house all day? It just didn't make any sense.
And then in
the night he would do comedy and stuff.
Okay,
but not that much. There's like a small bit at the end of each episode.
That's pretty cool, actually. Yeah. I think I might. I mean, now time
check it out.
Is something
check it out. Yeah, it's definitely one of the. I mean, he's made almost $1 billion out of it.
Fuck me. And he still has the worst style I've seen in a person. Have you seen comedians in car getting coffee?
Yeah.
Always wears a blazer with some sneaker that doesn't fit. I mean, he's a billionaire. He can dress how he wants, he dresses fucking terribly. I don't have style either, but like...
I think a lot of comedians are not very stylish.
Yeah.
I think the only one that kind of goes on the style is John Mulaney.
Oh, yeah.
He like always dresses in a suit. And I think when he performs, I think Samuel dresses up in a suit as well. He has this like old style dresses suit.
Yeah, that is true.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. Anything else you wanna add? You wanna plug anything? Coffee table book?
My YouTube channel. So on my name, Simon Gonzalez, I put one or two sketches every week. Mm-hmm. I try to do like funny content.
How's that working out? They're getting traction?
Look, I think I have like almost 200 subscribers. Okay. So it's
but
like
where did it come from?
Reddit recommendations.
Yeah, because like for me, like to be honest, it's almost nothing comes from YouTube.
Yeah.
So it's basically just me posting it outside constantly.
Because that's the point. Like, because I'm thinking now to post a bunch of stuff and like create better content. Because and then one day if I have like one thing that I'm super proud of, I think it might be good to try to promote it.
Dude, it's like so fucking annoying because like I feel like people are going for recommendations on YouTube, but like for me, like I feel like nothing comes from YouTube recommending my content. I feel like it doesn't push anything of my shit because it's not SEO searchable. Nobody's looking for whatever the fuck. So TikTok has been the big grower of like content for me.
Yeah.
And then posting it on Facebook groups, which is, and then now Reddit and 9th, and just trying to figure out other external factors that will grow it.
Yeah, but it's such so time consuming as well, and it's like sometimes.
I do this full time every day.
Yeah, which is insane. So basically that.
Yeah.
The YouTube channel to grow it to at least, I mean, I set a goal at 10,000 subscribers by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. If it will happen or not, I don't know.
So this year, yeah. It took me like basically last year, I had like about 100 at the start of the year, and at the end, I finished on 6,000.
So. Why not? You know,
it's possible. I think, but technically, I see all these guys making basically like one video and it goes viral.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck.
But you just need that one hit, because then when people come back, you'll have a bunch of content they will consume.
Exactly. It's same not as just Andrew Schultz. You need like also a content library.
Yeah.
Because when they find one, they need to be able to go down the rabbit hole.
Because I wouldn't want my first video to become viral, because then they'll be like, okay, the expectations are super high.
Right.
But if they have a one viral video, they come to my channel and see like, oh yeah, this is the sort of content, I stay for that.
Right.
You know, so that's why I just continuously put out stuff, and I'll get better as well, because once
that agree, that's the thing, you just have to put it out stuff. Yeah. Okay, so Simon Gonzalez on YouTube,
yeah,
Instagram.
Subscribe. Simon G Comedy. I put out on Instagram different stuff than on YouTube as well.
Okay.
It's like funny stuff. And yeah, just do more comedy, stand up.
TikTok
as well, Simon G Comedy or same.
Okay.
It's all the same.
I would recommend to have all of them on the same thing. Like even the YouTube channel.
Yeah, Simon G Comedy.
Yeah.
The same handle.
You can change that later on, I think.
Yeah. And that's basically like to grow online, but to do more comedy. I want to try to at least this year to do 5 hours, like 5 times 1 hour.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's great. It's a great goal. It's a great goal. It's definitely I hope I can do 5 hours this year with the things, how things are going. Okay, yeah, any other questions? You have any questions? Any feedback?
No, it went fast.
Okay, yeah, cool. Well, thanks a lot for tuning in, guys. Come back again and see you on the next one. Yeah, subscribe to my Patreon. I got a Patreon now.
Nice. Good job, man.
Six patrons.
Hey, fuck yeah, man. You gotta do what you gotta do.
That's like $3-5 a month.
More stuff on Patreon. You can do like behind the scenes.
I'm gonna put this on Patreon.
Nice.
First, and then release it out loud.
That's good.
Okay, cool. See you guys later.
Ciao.